I'm Alex.
I'm Lucas.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Relevant Shit.
Is that the new thing? You guys just come in right after me?
I kind of forget, and then I just jump in.
Because I'm like, oh, when should I say shit? And then, obviously, Rob and I are in the same wavelength, because we're just like, oh, when do we say it? When do we say it? And then we say it at the end. Shit.
Oh, we should get in here before it ends.
I don't want to miss out on the tradition.
That's okay. I like it. It's a new spin on our intro. Yeah, it's a Tuesday evening. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Great.
Yeah?
Great. I'm pumped.
What are you pumped about?
I'm pumped about life.
All right. I like to pump life up. Pump it up.
Pump it up.
What about you, Rob? You pumped?
No, because I know what my article's about.
Oh, God. He was telling us before the podcast started that we should watch where we go with this one. So I'm very
so
curious.
So it's hot. So we're going to have him start. So fire it off, man. Let's hear it.
All right. So I was at work and I saw this headline just pop up. Mandalay Bay owner sues victims of 2017 Vegas mass shooting.
The Casino Bay?
Yeah. Oh, the victims. Okay, why?
He's suing the victims?
The owner,
their blood
which is
got everywhere. Oh, <geez. laughs>
What's he suing him over?
Oh, my God. But this is the headline I saw, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah. Is there a spin on it,
though? Oh, my God. So Mandalay Bay is owned by the MGM Resort. And the article starts off with resort and casino in Las Vegas is suing more than 1,000 victims of the 2017 mass shooting.
Wait, it's suing 1,000 victims?
More than 1,000.
I didn't realize there was that many victims.
Well, these are relatives and stuff like that.
Oh, okay, okay.
But then it goes on to say, MGM Resorts International filed complaints in Nevada and California, claiming the hotel and its owners can't be held liable for the October 1st shooting. The gunman opened fire from a Mandalay Bay hotel room onto a crowd of concert goers, killing 58 people. MGM Resorts also owns the venue where the concert was held. So it doesn't say it, but no, they're not suing them for money. They're not suing them for compensation. I actually found another article that clarified this article, but pretty clear there. Yeah. What is?
Wait. Hold on. So, what are they suing them for?
They're not. It's a bad article.
It's like a fucking clickbait.
It's a clickbait. It's eye grabber.
Wow.
Because I thought, like, what the fuck? How are you going to sue the victims over this? They're not.
I was ready to rage.
They're not suing them. They filed a complaint. All right.
What are they complaining about?
Yeah. So I shall expound on.
Okay.
MGM Resorts bases its argument around the post 9/11 law, which extends liability protections to Department of Homeland Security certified companies in the event of an act of terrorism. One of the security vendors hired from the concert was certified. So MGM Resorts argued that it should get the same liability protection since it did the hiring. As such as says and claims filed against it must be dismissed. A lawyer for several of the victims told the Las Vegas Review-Journal that MGM Resorts' decisions to file its complaints in federal court was unethical and blatant display of judge shopping.
Wait a minute, what's this Homeland Security liability thing? I'm not following.
So that's the thing. That was a bad article, and I actually looked up the better article. I'll try not to repeat. So, from NBC News, more reliable source, Mandalay Bay owner files complaint against victims of Las Vegas shooting. The complaint doesn't seek money from them, but instead seeks to have their case moved to federal court, where in 2002...
Wait, whose case? The victim's case?
The victims have a case against MGM, probably for the shooting, and saying, oh, you didn't protect us. And then MGM is saying, well, we hired a company that was licensed to protect you.
Right, so it's home. It's government's problem, not theirs.
They're certified by the government, so fucking go after the government.
Yeah, because apparently there's 2,000 victims that are suing MGM, holding them liable.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying it's not their fault, just like Luke explained.
Got it.
And they're trying to move it to federal court. That legislation and support anti-terrorism by fostering effective technologies or safety act protects corporations in the event of mass attacks committed on U.S. soil, provided services certified by the Department of Homeland Security were deployed. So basically, the MGM is claiming that they followed the laws, they hired a security company that was Homeland Security certified, and they're not liable. So they're trying to take it out of the local and the state courts, move it to federal, where now they're protected because they did everything in their power. And so if anything, it's the government or it's the security company's fault, not MGM's.
That makes sense. I mean,
but on the contrary, or on the other side that I started talking to Michelle about, why are all these people suing MGM? Like, it's freaking their fault.
Yeah, that was my thought.
And that's what I'm wondering too. Like, is it, you know, restitution for pain and suffering, or for like the cost of the burials and funeral arrangements and things like that? Or is it just
what they're suing?
Shady Americans looking for money?
But that's the problem. Like, why are you suing?
On
what
grounds?
It was a tragedy.
Yeah.
It's terrible that it happened, but it's not MGM's fault. It's not. I mean,
you could make a case that, you know, like, how do they let them bring so many guns in there, you know? But
yeah,
still, like,
but guess
really?
What? Where do you go? What do you do in a hotel?
Yeah.
You bring luggage.
Yep.
You
yeah.
start invading that privacy, then
we're
already at that with the airports.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the next step is putting metal detectors in every single facility that, you know, has.
That just ruins the decor.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't want to go to MGM if I'm like treated like a.
Watch it.
I wouldn't want to go to MGM if I was treated like a Southside Chicago resident.
That's terrible. Yeah,
Terrible is it on both sides of the coin? Like, I get MGM and they're doing what they should be doing, but
doing
like all
the
people
suggest.
That are suing them, and of course that other lawyer is trying to call it unethical because he's trying to get a bankroll out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, why is everyone suing them like it's their fault, you know?
That is the American way.
I know.
You sue your way to the top.
Lawsuits are going crazy.
Yeah.
It's lawyers, man. And like this always, I'm totally a libertarian and I'm proud of that. I fucking hate lawyers. I hate insurance companies. I hate all that shit because I think it just like creates a backbone for the stupid people and for the ones that don't want to do anything to, you know, utilize the system to get free things instead of actually contributing to their communities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you guys think you live in a shitty country, I got a...
Please, you
got to
let me.
We love our country.
On this one, it's perfect.
We would not want to live anywhere else, but there are some issues that need to be addressed, like quit being lawsuit happy.
No, I mean, yeah, I love this country. This is my home, but... And it's not like it's any better in any other country. Any other free democratic country has the same problem with the legal systems and lawyers.
If you don't like it, you get hung.
If anything, you fucking lawyers need to chill out. No, and like law has a place too, but I don't know. I just, the more and more they put laws, the more and more they insure things, I just get frustrated. You know, it's puts a stack on all your freedoms. And
now they have to print that your coffee is hot on your cup so that you don't burn yourself.
Well, in fairness with that, like, McDonald's was boiling their coffee to a ridiculous temperature. Like, I think if you look into that whole lawsuit with that, it was like 300 degrees or something ridiculous. The average coffee should be brewed at like 190. So they were just way over the top. But
still,
like, she had burnt, like, third degree burns. I've spilled coffee I brewed at home on myself and nothing happens, you know? Like, third degree burns is pretty insane, but probably for sterilization. I don't know why they would do it.
It doesn't get sterilized at like 180.
I don't know, man. I'm not a scientist. Do we got to call Dan?
Hey, Dan, at which boiling point?
Well, speaking of terrorists in a tower, Bruce Willis has settled whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie once and for all. This is very dear to me because this is my favorite movie of all time, and it is my favorite Christmas movie of all time. During a taping of a Comedy Central roast of Bruce Willis that happened last weekend, the Die Hard star and man of the hour took a tough stance by stating the film is not a Christmas movie.
Oh, yeah, I heard
about
that.
This was released in 1988, also the year I was born, very important. Die Hard being a Christmas movie has become a point of contention among fans over the years thanks to its clear action thriller nature and Christmas setting. Die Hard focuses on Willis's character, John McClane. I'm sure you've all seen the movie, but recap for any of our listeners who haven't. He's an NYPD officer visiting his wife in Los Angeles. While attending a Christmas party at her office in Nakatomi Plaza, McClane is forced into action after German terrorists led by Alan Rickman's iconic Hans Gruber take over the building. The non-holiday tone and plot paired with a clear Christmas time setting has created much online debate as to whether or not the film itself is a Christmas movie. Some fans argue that not only does it qualify for the category, but it's actually among the best. And I'd be one of those fans to agree. So according to the coverage from the taping of his roast, Willis had his own opinion. He said, quote, Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. It's a goddamn Bruce Willis movie.
I agree with that quote.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong, but I disagree it is
and
a Christmas
he's not
movie.
Right.
When questioned after the show about how he thought his fans might react, he said, "We'll see." Very ominous. Very Bruce Willis-like. With filmography that not only includes the Die Hard franchise, which Willis has confirmed, as recently as February, they're churning out a sixth installment. Yes. But also films like...
Is he going to be in it?
I hope so. He better be, otherwise I'm not seeing it.
Die Hard with Kevin Hart.
I would not watch that fucking movie. Does the film being set on Christmas Eve affect this assessment? Not according to Willis. So what do you guys think? Have you seen this movie? Do you think it's a Christmas movie?
Yeah, it's set on Christmas.
But is that enough to make it
a happy ending?
Mm-hmm.
It has people going down chimneys.
Is there a chimney? There's no chimney.
I think they crawl through the vents.
The vents, yeah. The modern chimney.
Yeah, modern 1989.
88 chimney.
88, yeah.
So that is my favorite all-time Christmas movie. I've watched it every Christmas since I was 13.
Wow.
I have never watched it on Christmas.
Oh, dude,
I've seen it a thousand times.
It's like my morning thing. I wake up Christmas morning, I go watch Die Hard right away, and then I'm just in the zone, ready for Santa.
Which Die Hard is your
the
favorite?
First one.
First one.
First Die Hard. Just Die Hard.
The classic.
Hans Gruber.
Have you watched the other ones?
I have. I've seen all of them.
Disappointed? Or?
Die Hard 2 and 3 are good. 4. Which one's 4? Is that Live Free and Die Hard? After 4, they kind of like, I forget which ones
what's,
are which.
There's a
it
recent
turned
one,
Fast
right,
and Furious.
Too? Yeah, it gets a little too much. And then they did one with where
it
his son.
It doesn't go quite Fast and the Furious. It's never like, I'm Vin Diesel. I'm going to punch a fucking ground.
There one
fucking cars fly up in the air.
I mean, there's one, I think it's in Live Free and Die Hard, where he takes a helicopter out by driving a car into it.
Oh.
But even one of the other characters is like, you just took a helicopter out with a car, and Bruce just shrugs it off like, I don't know.
These directors are great.
But
I don't know. I don't know.
Two is good. Two is the airport.
I remember that one. I think that's the only two I saw.
Yeah, he flies back to New York, I think it is, but I think it was in Philadelphia.
Was that one on Christmas too, or?
It was roughly Christmas-ish time.
It was winter.
I don't know if it was Christmas per se, but it might have been. That might have been why the airport was so packed.
If it was Christmas, then it's definitely a Christmas movie, because, I mean, what are the fucking odds?
Yeah, but the third one is nowhere near
Christmas.
What
makes a Christmas movie? Like, how is Home Alone any more Christmas movie-ish than Die Hard, you know? Like,
is that your Christmas movie of choice?
If I had one.
Lost in New York or?
No, the original.
The original.
Definitely. Lost in New York is good. Underrated.
Underrated for sure.
Yeah, a lot of people talk shit about that one. Mm-hmm. It's good.
He
I didn't
did
like the
so
third
much
one
in New York.
Yeah, the third one with the little kid with the mushroom haircut.
Yeah.
No good.
He was not no good.
No Macaulay. No bueno.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Macaulay should revamp that role too.
Macaulay.
Yeah. Home Alone. He's Home Alone 30.
Oh, it'd be good if it was like Home Alone and he's the bad guy now. Like he had like a rough life and became the thief and he has to fight like his own nemesis.
Would you watch it?
Oh, hell yeah. I would watch the hell out of that. Like him and Bruce Willis are trying to rob a house, and Kevin Hart's son is fighting.
And John Travolta and fucking
Stallone.
Stallone, yeah. Stallone comes in there with no neck, just fucking moving his body around to look around. Just fucking shifting left and right.
But yeah, the first Die Hard was the best one. Hans Gruber, Alan Rickman, phenomenal terrorist. He says, what does he say? He's like... One of my favorite quotes is she's like, after all this terrorist talk, you're not actually a terrorist. You're just a common thief. He's like, I'm not a common thief. I'm an exceptional thief. I love that shit, dude.
You know what
so
the best
good.
Part is? When the first time I saw that, I thought exceptional meant like just like sub-average.
I'm an okay
like,
thief.
It's not good, but it's exceptional. Like that's kind of where I thought it was. Why would he say that?
So, if I ever meet Bruce Willis, I'm going to argue that point with him. Be like, it's a Christmas
talk.
Movie because you've given me a thankful Christmas or a wonderful Christmas for 17 years now. So, fuck you, Bruce. It is the Christmas movie.
With that logic, you could say fucking Two Girls, One Cup is like best Christmas movie ever, too.
Well, if
you watch it every
fair,
every
you got to make Christmas. A point there. Yeah. But this has Christmas theme to it.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I would. I'm on the Christmas movie side.
Carl from Family Matters is the cop in it. I mean, it's just great.
Great movie.
Classic.
Rob, do you got an article that ties in with that somehow?
No, but I have your random funny
headline.
Wait, no,
Lucas has to do his article. It went Rob, Alex, now it's got to be Lucas.
Oh, okay. Hold on, I got to give him a break. It's just a random funny headline. There's no follow-up. But the headline states, federal agents raid gun shop and find weapons.
Is there a colon there?
There's a, was it a colon. Comma.
Oh. It takes so long.
I wouldn't trust that because they said they found weapons in Iraq and or weapons of mass destruction. So you can never trust a headline.
Yeah, I know. It was just a funny headline. Lucas, what's on your board?
What's on Asian Pacific SBS News?
That's oh yeah, I should have said from. my Bruce Willis article was from Business Insider.
Oh thank God, good business.
Anyway, Bruce, go ahead. Business.
This article is by Katarina Yu. So basically, this woman went up to the mural of the Chinese president. Have you guys know?
Is this the one in Tiananmen Square?
Yeah.
I've seen that in person.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I don't think it is. I don't think it's like one of the main ones. It didn't look like it. I watched the video.
Yeah, there's pictures of him everywhere. So.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they're saying in this article. And she went up to it and threw ink on it, you know, defaced it. And she had this rant, and I can read her rant here.
Oh, I think I know this article. Go ahead.
Okay, so her rant went on to say, and this translated to English, obviously. I'm not going to do it in Chinese.
Bing tong, hang tong,
ding dong.
Amazing.
our best Chinese is from Overwatch. Behind me is a portrait of Xi Jinping. I want to say publicly that I oppose the tyranny of Xi Jinping's dictatorship and the brain control oppression imposed by the Chinese Communist Party. So she tells that to the camera. She throws ink at his portrait, and she posts it on Twitter. She was live streaming this whole thing.
Okay, on Chinese Twitter or American Twitter?
Well, it's using Twitter, which I thought was kind of strange because Chinese have their own like little Twitter that is obviously 10 times bigger than regular Twitter because they have so many people.
Right, but not only that.
That's racist.
That's not racist. That's true. Just a fact. Yeah. No, they are... All their social media is filtered. Like when I was there, you can't access YouTube. You can't access. I mean, you can, but it's Chinese YouTube, and everything's government controlled. Like you couldn't. I couldn't find any footage of stuff I would want to see there.
I honestly don't know, but I'm thinking it's probably not normal to use Twitter. Maybe that's kind of like where the activists are, if there are any in China.
Okay.
You know, kind of like a fringe.
I think. I mean, I can't speak about Twitter specifically, but I was just hearing something, and like they have all the social media and everything that we do, but like you said, it's filtered and it's all through the government. So they will block anything and everything that they see fit, or if you put something, they're gonna find you or take it down or something.
But like,
so it's very, very huge censorship. Thank you, communism.
But like any anything with locks on it, if you try hard enough, you can get around it. So you can set up, or if you
Asians don't believe in black markets at all.
Well, yeah, but you can set up like virtual networks that are access points into like networks that are located outside of China. So then you can access the World Wide Web.
Oh yeah, I mean you can still do a lot of things, but the general public is all censored.
Right,
the communists.
Right.
Yeah. So this girl's 29. Her name is Dong Yongqing. I hope I pronounced that right. But this artist Huang Yong was watching online and tweeted his concerns for his safety. Now based in China's southern Yunnan province, he was detained for criticizing the government after documenting Beijing's mass eviction of migrant workers last year. And he said, she was definitely going to disappear. That was my first reaction to seeing her post. Later on, this article goes on that her last tweet was a picture of through a peephole, and it was just a plain clothed guy and with two cops behind him. The way I saw it was probably like a landlord.
Oh, you got the picture?
Yeah, I got the picture here.
Yeah, I could see that a manager or something.
Yeah,
and yeah,
with two cops right behind her. And I looked into this, and she still hasn't been found. It's been 2 weeks as of yesterday. So I thought that was kind of strange.
I believe it.
Found by the government or by
no,
the people?
No, so the article goes on saying a Twitter account named Communications Center of Appealing, which is like the fucking most random like Twitter account, reportedly said Ms. Dong had been detained by police and was held for questioning in Beijing. but Shanghai Security Bureau has reportedly denied having any knowledge of Ms. Dong's case.
Yeah, sounds about right. I mean,
yeah. It's just, you know, it's kind of crazy. And the one of the big thing is with this president is he eliminated the term limits for him. So imagine if Trump is like, we're not going to have elections anymore. I'm going to be president until I'm done. So it's a big contention.
Wait, he didn't do that yet?
It's an executive order. I cannot leave office.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I'm going to be huge.
Yeah, but with ours, there's checks and balances from the other judicial areas that would be able to get rid of him.
Yeah, it's different. You know, I'm sure it's much easier to do that as a communist. You know, and he's got his own, vision in there.
Right.
He wrote his vision in the Constitution. And, you know, you don't hear about that guy that much. You hear about King Kim Jong all the time. But
Putin. That guy's nuts and playing around with nuclear weapons.
Yeah, he's a little too brash too out there. You know, this guy's low-key, but still kind of worrisome.
But they have an iron fist over their people, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think I told the story on the podcast before, my like run-in with the police when I was in China, how they like grabbed me basically and like,
yeah, but don't mess around.
Yeah, yeah. And I wasn't even doing anything. I just was taking a photo that he probably didn't like, so, you know,
you're American spy.
Yeah. They sent the 6'3" super pale guy that like everybody could pick out. I'm the sneaky spy.
Oh, you dress like tourist. That's what the spy would do.
Yeah, I was just amazed by that.
I love our country.
and there's no outrage from anybody about that.
Well, because
really,
they'll come down on them too. I mean,
yeah.
You speak out, you disappear.
Yep.
I mean, my dad tells me about that all the time when he was in communist Poland, you know, mm-hmm. like the cops grab you, you could not show up. You sure. know, they had to like you. You had to either make them laugh or give them something or, you know.
That's harder and harder to do, though, now, I feel like, with it.
Not in like an iron fist, though.
Sure, but like with like, don't you feel like in 20 years when everybody's got internet, there's no way that you can suppress people.
But they have internet now and they're still suppressing them.
Yeah, it's a different culture there now. They're just coming out of poverty, you know, like where U.S. has been like a first world country for a long time. You have generation of people growing up like wealthy and, you know, successful and without any fear, you know, and now they're starting to get a middle class over there. If you go to Hong Kong, for example, it's a completely different culture than the rest of the country. They're
but
free over there.
England gave Hong Kong back to China and they're slowly starting to like take away their freedoms there.
Sure, absolutely. But I'm just saying like the mentality there is completely different than it is for the rest of the China because they've been progressed for so, you know, for so long compared to the rest of the country.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, the more and more we become one world, it's going to be harder and harder to kind of suppress people.
Oh, yeah. But when, I mean, they're going to pull it off for a while because their population's so big. Like, you can't fight their army.
Yeah.
I think you're looking at it backwards. Like, governments and rulers and dictators and kings and monarchs and emperors they've been suppressing people forever. And that is where America has been the little shining star of new freedoms.
Democracy,
word of the people, elections, stuff like that. Like, it's kind of like, so we are the glimmering hope, and that is why still for the last
yeah but our
years,
system
people,
isn't perfect either.
No, we are far from perfect, but we are still in a better situation here than on almost any other country you can think of. And people will argue like it's great in other countries.
Canada.
Yeah.
Switzerland.
Free. Yeah. People will argue like all these other things, but guess what? The entire world is still flocking to America versus Canada or Switzerland or anywhere else.
That's not entirely true.
I think it's, yeah, I don't think
that's
true
anymore.
Either.
I think maybe 30 years ago, yeah, but now people are going to Canada. I mean,
yeah, I'm not saying they're not going anywhere else, but we're still like the number one, and we're still the one country where the most mix of races, nationalities, religions, of everything and anything. You know, you go to France, yeah, you're going to have other people that aren't French, but most of them are French.
Well, that's because historically we're the first really new world country that popped up that allowed something like that.
But that's exactly my point.
Yeah,
we're the pioneers
of that, but you can't say that French, which is like has like a huge Muslim population and like letting in refugees left and right, is like more, you know, accepting than or is less accepting than the U.S.?
No, I didn't mean about the accepting. I meant about the freedoms and opportunity. You know, why we are so different because we are so new and young. So we are, like, we're that little, and yes, we're young because we're the little speck on the radar, you know? And we're slowly but surely changing the freaking world and trying to take over the world at the same time.
Are we? Is that what we're up? Is that what we're up to?
But like, I got off on a little bit of a tangent.
No, that's all right.
But like, that's, you know, I think like we are the hope that we can be where you want us or where you think we will be.
Sure.
But unfortunately, I'm going to be the pessimist and say people have been doing the opposite and putting people down across the entire globe for centuries and centuries and centuries, you know, and so it might take a while, a long while.
Well, I think no matter what, every great idea is a great idea until an asshole comes along and like figures out the loophole in it to fuck with it.
Make so, it huge.
Yeah. I don't think Trump's that bad. I think he's just a fucking moron. And
I know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I was watching. I watched this whole NATO, like, I don't know why, but I watched the whole NATO interview with him doing, you know, talking about NATO and how he threatened to, like, quit. And that's what I was reading. I was reading that the whole time. And then when I watched it, I'm like, he didn't, like, seem like that he was being that harsh and whatever, you know? It's just like, it's, I almost don't want to believe him, but when he says, like, the media is really harsh against him.
It's well, they like are because true, because like, people will buy the newspaper when, you know, and it's the general consensus. I mean, he's not a politician. Like, you got to remember, he got to where he is by being an asshole. Yeah. So, of course, he's going to bring that style to his political career because that's who he is. That's how he's gotten to where he is. We're used to these politicians who know how to, like, sweet talk and maneuver with their words. This guy is the opposite. So everything he says comes off like a dickhead because he is a dickhead. But at least it's something different. We're definitely going to come out of this presidency with like, whoa, what just happened, you know? Versus like business as usual. I think he's going to get reelected. You think so?
I think so.
I'm curious to see who runs against him and how that fares.
Yeah, that's also a good point. I mean, it could sway it a lot. But I feel like he's like at first, when it first happened, I'm like, no way he's going to get reelected. But now, like the more and more I think about it, I feel like he's going to get reelected for sure.
I was thinking about elections this morning while I was driving to work in our system with the whole electoral college. Mm-hmm. And I really wish they would just change it to a like one vote, Matt, you know, like one vote,
yeah,
one vote.
Sure, absolutely.
Not like your state wins blue or red and now mm-hmm. it's a blue or red state. Because I was thinking we are stuck with a two-party system because of the electoral college. Like if a third party comes in, say he is the most popular guy, but you know, you're getting 30% of each state is voting for that guy. Or let's say, I don't know, 35%. I don't know how you'd add that up. But it still loses because, like, California is a blue state and Illinois is a blue state and these are high population states. So they just, like, because the state vote is what matters, you know, like, the third party doesn't stand a chance.
The electoral college, yeah. They got a lot in that.
So we can't ever change because we're stuck on this two system because of the electoral college. So if it just became one vote counts as one vote, no matter where you are, and you tally it all up, and if, you know, John Smith got 62% of the votes and the other two people candidates got 20 and 20 then or 18 and 20 or something, then mm-hmm. John Smith wins. Not like, oh, that these blue states won, so it's the blue guy.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I think that's
but
the
also,
biggest.
Also, like, then you could have, like, you know, you could have The Rock or, well, actually, Rock would actually be a good example, but you could have someone silly run for president and win, you know? Like
I would vote for The Rock.
That's fine, you know? It's a fucking popularity contest anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, the whole, like
Kim Kardashian.
The whole president. Political system
like
is...
that?
Whatever, man. I don't...
The Electoral College would stop that in its tracks.
Yeah, but right now, the Electoral College limits it to, like, you know, the guys who keep each other's hands in each other's pockets are the only ones who can win. Yeah. I'd rather I'd rather get, like, crazy, like, not crazy, but, you know, like, something different every time that we run. Just somebody, some like brilliant mind could be out there who could run for presidency and get a following, but he can't because he's not in the Democratic or Republican parties or a billionaire. So that's really our three options.
Yeah. I feel like it's also like because of systems like that, it's very convoluted. You know, it's not as simple as, you know, going online and voting.
Right.
Something like that.
And I should preface all of this by saying I know nothing about politics. This is just like, I mean, I have no right to discuss this, but this is just what I noticed in my 30 years on this planet, on this country especially.
Yeah, politics suck.
What were we talking about originally? Communism?
Communism and this poor girl. I forgot her name already, but I hope somebody doesn't forget her.
Somebody. I will not.
Dong.
Things Dong. Still missing.
She's not going to show up. That's it. She's going to fall into obscurity.
I love this guy's reaction. She was definitely going to disappear.
Yeah, I mean, they know. Yeah. Like, when you're in that kind of system, you know. I mean, this shit happens like that in Russia, too. People oppose Putin, they die. That's it. Yeah. They're gone.
God bless America.
So today, too, I heard Stormy Daniels got arrested by some undercover cop at one of her shows for, like, her touching him or something.
Ooh.
And I was thinking about it. I was like, I wonder if Trump, like, put out, like, a political hit on her. You know, like, they're sending undercover cops. Like, why would there be an undercover cop going after her?
I read that, too, but and, like, that was what the article was hinting at. But I feel like that just brings more attention to her.
Right.
And that's not something that he'd want.
I thought the same thought, too. Like, I wouldn't do it if I was...
Yeah, her lawyer is hyping it up that it's like that.
For well, sure. Yeah, because it gets publicity, and her next show is going to sell even better.
Yeah. What kind of shows does she do?
She does like some like strip half shows? Stripper, half talking. She basically like turned her affair with Trump into a career move.
Oh, okay. Like Mike Tyson did too.
Did he bang Trump too?
Yeah, he banged Trump.
Well, like I never even heard of her.
And then started the Pigeon Burger Place.
That's right.
I never even heard of Stormy Daniels until the Trump incident. And then all of a sudden I see on the billboard on the highway that she's going to... That she performed at the Admiral.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh... Okay.
Well, she's a past her prime porn star that, you know, now she's making a second career move.
I think that's
stripping
great.
Gigs.
Good for her.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah, it's a move up. You don't have to take it in the ass anymore, right? You can say, fuck the boss. Without literally having to fuck the boss.
That's the glass ceiling.
All right, well, these articles have been great, but I think it's time we take a short break. And we'll be right back after a message from our sponsors.
Do you fap too much?
Do you not fap enough?
How much do you really fap?
Do you fap more than your friends?
Do your friends say they fap more than you?
Put some science behind it.
If these things sound like they apply to you, then you should get FapTrack, the new Android Wear OS app and soon to be available on Apple Watch products.
FapTrack.
Use the friendly social portion of FapTrack to compare yourself with your neighbors.
Compare yourself to your favorite celebrities.
FapTrack leaderboard, now active.
Are you going to be in first place?
And we're back.
So I got an article here, and this is a blast from the past article. While I was flipping through just weird articles, this one popped up, and I was like, how did I not see this last year when we first started doing this? Was it about a year ago? No, I guess we started in the winter, so it makes sense why I missed this article. But the article is Death Row Inmate Eats 1,200 Pages of the Bible as Last Meal. This is from August 30th of 2017. A condemned murderer, Jeremy Morris from Atmore, Alabama, reportedly ate 1,200 pages of the Holy Bible he requested from a prison guard, right? The 33-year-old...
What else could it be?
Oh, okay, I see. The 33-year-old...
Trans man.
He's a... The way they wrote it was just kind of weird when you read it. The 33-year-old and murderer of two Catholic nuns requested the Bible as his last meal. According to World News, the prison guards of William C. Holman Correctional Facility thought he wanted to pray and repent, so they gave him an old copy of the King James Bible. But surprisingly, the condemned murderer took hours to tear the 1,200-page holy book, including its cover, into small pieces before he ate them. The prison guard, Walter Henry, who handed him the old and worn-out Bible, says the inmate seemed to savor every bite. He kept tearing pieces from his Bible and eating them like they were potato chips. The Holman Prison Director, Frank Davis, says the staff decided to let the prisoner eat it because it didn't violate the establishment's last meal policy.
Hey. I want to eat dick. Does that violate it?
Well, we can get you a cow's dick or something. Director Davis said, you can track it on Fat Track.
My dog eats the fucking...
Cow's dick?
It eats some dick. Shelby brought it home, and it's like, look at these treats. They're called peen law or something like that, some weird term. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. And she's like, yeah, it's like fucking donkey dick or something. You know, it's like some animal. I'm like, what the fuck?
Hey, I won't judge Nico's lifestyle choices.
He's munching on it. He loves it. He begs for it. I'm like, oh, God.
Nico's goes good with his balls.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, the director for this guy said that it's customary to give sentenced prisoners a special last meal at their request, although restrictions do apply concerning mostly the legality and accessibility and value of the meal. Goes on to say that Jeremy was probably executed by now, going by his sentence. There's a nice photo of this guy. He looks like the type that would try and eat a Bible.
Oh, yes.
Ooh.
His whole face is tatted up, and he's got the pentagram on his forehead, and looks like some tribal stuff. But he has it, like, reversed. Like, the symbols are his skin tone and everything else. he looks like a negative of a photo.
He's just a negative person.
Yeah, so... So what do you guys think of that, eating a holy Bible as the last meal?
I think it's holy shit.
I think it's fucking hilarious, but I don't know. What would your last meals be? Some dick.
It'd be a big beef, hot peppers, large fry, side of cheese, large Coke, and a beer chaser.
From Portillo's?
Yeah.
Do you think they let you have beer as your last meal? Like, can you have alcohol?
Come on. You can fucking have a Bible. You can't have a fucking beer. Like, come on, I'm going to fucking die. And also, I bet, like, a lot of these people shit their pants.
No, they actually do. That's why they either put you in a diaper or they stuff cotton up your ass.
What? Before you die? Before they kill you? They shove cotton up your ass?
Yeah.
But, like, while you're alive?
I'd be like, give me the fucking diaper.
No, that was, I don't know if it was special treatment.
No,
but
cotton in my
But is it the
ass.
Last meal?
Special treat? Is that what you
no,
said?
No, it was special treatment. But that was the
special treat.
In the Ted Bundy documentary, they shoved a bunch of cotton wads up his ass because they didn't want to clean him when he died.
So when is the last meal? Is it like the night before or is it that like right before? Like you eat it and then all right, off you go.
No, it's dinner and then don't they usually execute you at midnight?
Is that
what?
How it works?
Is that a thing?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, they always execute
so
you
shitty,
at midnight.
Like, I'm fucking tired. Let's just get this done.
How would you sleep that night?
Yeah.
How would you sleep that week?
I think by that point, hopefully, I'm hoping that these people come to terms with this, and it's not as much of a shock as it would be if we were to get...
Yeah, well,
like abducted in the middle of
I mean, I'm sure there's been people who've died though that like didn't deserve it, you know, like were wrongly accused
I mean, that's
or
the
convicted.
Biggest, yeah, that's the biggest, you know, argument against penalty by death. So
right. I don't know what my last meal would be. I'd probably some like really dope ass lasagna.
Lasagna?
I don't know. If I didn't like the fucking guards, bland. I would ask for like chili and tacos.
Fucking bland.
You gotta get a fucking...
I don't know what my favorite meal is. I love everything.
I mean, like traditional would be like filet and lobster, you know?
You know what? Steak is good, but it doesn't get me excited as like... Nah.
How about just a joint?
It would probably be
Let's
like...
Let's do it.
Like one of those whole entire fucking containers of ice cream, like the big ones that they have at like Baskin Robbins that they scoop out of. I'd be like, get me one of those, and it has to be like peanut butter and chocolate swirl and vanilla.
And while you're eating it, you're just staring at them, telling them you're lactose intolerant. Just
I don't know.
What would your last meal be?
Bottle of whiskey if I could.
All right.
Figure get shit-faced drunk to the point where you're at that moment and you're like, oh my god, I've drank too much, fucking shoot me. Bah! Done.
But they they lethal inject now, I think, right?
Yeah,
they don't
same
electrocution.
Thing.
No, they
don't. But
same
I don't
thing.
Know.
It's not, thing
it's not
at all.
The same at all.
Well, it's end me and they'll end you. But I just heard some...
What if you got to choose your way of death?
Oh, that'd be cool.
And they had to, like, oblige no matter what it was, like...
Yeah.
Throw me out of an airplane or...
Yes.
Or...
I would definitely do that.
Aim for the bushes. I'm going to live.
See if I can glide to the lake. I would definitely do
that.
That
would be cool if they, like, let you just try to live, you know? Like, there's a chance.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, the odds are really against you.
Like or just have you, like, drop you over the ocean.
Throw you into, like, crocodile-infested waters of Australia or something.
Yeah.
No, you could survive that easily, but just throw you in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, middle of the ocean. That'd be interesting. That would suck. I would not want to drown. I feel like drowning would be the worst way to die.
I don't think you'd drown. You'd just, like, dehydrate. You know, you'd swim.
You'd get worn out, man.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah. You think you'd drown, though?
Oh, yeah,
you
once you can't,
even,
like
starve.
Once you don't have the strength to swim anymore, you're drowning.
I think drowning, I don't know. I think at first it might be one of the worst ways to die, but then at the end, like, it's, I think it goes quick.
I'm sure your you know, your brain goes into shock mode and you just don't feel anything. At
After
some point.
A point, yeah. Same thing with, like, I think burning to death and drowning are the two worst ways to die. Yeah.
Burning to death, definitely. Another bad way is by eating Tide Pods or anything chemical. Because I've heard of people drinking Drano, drinking gasoline. Like, all that does is burn you from the inside out. Like, that's the worst way to die unless you want to suffer immense pain before you die. And go for it.
I'd request Chuck Norris to roundhouse kick me in the neck.
He takes him like 6 or 7 tries to kill you. You're just like, oh, fuck.
Damn it, Chuck. You look so good in Walker, Texas Ranger.
You guys know any facts about the guillotine?
Yeah, we did discuss this once before. We did this on the podcast.
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay.
You brought the 30 fun facts that one week.
What?
Yeah.
No, I remember that. I don't remember the guillotine.
Yeah, guillotine was one of them, about how they were using it until the 70s.
Yeah, that wasn't my fact, though.
Oh, well, what's your fact?
Different fact. When they first tried to invent the guillotine, they didn't make the blade sharp enough. So the first, like, dozen people that they tried to behead, they took multiple tries, and they just kept blowing.
Oh, God.
And the guy would still be alive.
It probably breaks your neck, and you're just God. Screaming. They're like, what do I do? Can you imagine that guy with a hood on and shit, like the fucking executioner?
Oh, it's my first day, I'm fucking up. Like, everybody's watching.
Like, in panic.
But that, or the old axe chop man, you know, like the guy who would just swing the axe and take a head off. You miss, like, you hung over them.
Oh, I'm sure they did. I'm sure they missed a bunch of times. Like,
that's why,
like,
people came to watch, was hoping for that kind of shit.
So why people go to NASCAR to see the crash.
Yeah,
public hangings and stuff.
But yeah, no, the first couple, like, the one looked like an axe, like it was round, but it proved to not work. One was a straight edge, and again, it proved to not work, and it would take 4, 5, 6, 7 tries.
You think they tried on, like, a log or something?
Well, what they underestimated was the durability of a human neck and the spinal cord.
Bone, yeah.
Like, trying to go through the, your backbone.
They should have, like, a wheel of death for death row inmates, and they have to, like, spin it. Like, and, like, whatever it lands on is what they get. Like, one of them's, like, the big ball from Indiana Jones. They have to run from that.
That might be considered unethical.
It'd be fun. Yeah. Can't we have fun with these things?
No, not when it comes to life or death.
Mm. Those are the hard rules of Rob.
Not me, that's society, you know?
Yeah.
I would love to have a fun execution system.
Or we do, like, what was that show? Death Race or something like that, where they all have to,
the,
like,
the prison inmates race for their lives.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Some sort of competitive thing where they get to try to live, type of thing.
Oh, that'd be great.
Battle royales and stuff. Yeah.
If you had to race on a motorcycle, oh, that'd be so awesome. Because then you have nothing to lose, you know? It's either you die on it or you die, like, when you're done.
Right, right.
So you're just, like, you would just go crazy.
Do something. Because
push the limits.
There was a random article pop up. It now costs $72,000 to house a prisoner for 1 year in the state of California. $72,000.
I live on less than that.
For one person?
How long? What duration?
For 1 year.
1 year, wow.
Per year, you're paying that much, and that's just in the state of California.
What the fuck do they get over there? What are they getting for 72 grand?
I don't know, but that's one of the reasons why I'm almost pro-support death penalty, because why are we just paying to house these guys up for life?
How about, like...
Or my favorite is...
That's like a shitty way. Okay.
But my favorite is you're going to serve 5 life sentences plus 25 years. Like,
yeah, but they do that because there's, like, ways that they can parole themselves, lower their sentence by, like, good behavior and maybe get out.
If you get 60. Life without parole, then it should be life without not. Oh, you're going to serve 5 consecutive life sentences. Well, what are you going to do? Serve them one right after another?
Well, but those things also go to set precedent for, like, future crimes, so that you know that, like, if you do this, minimally you're getting life without parole, but you could get 600 years and your children's lifetimes.
Oh. Blah, blah. As long as I don't get life without parole, I'll take the 600 years.
I don't know.
I'm going to be like, real good boy.
But that's what's wrong with the system. Like, what the fuck? Like, give him life, and then give him life. Put him to death, put him to death. But the appeals and this and that, and it's all fucked up. $72,000 to live in a freaking 8x6 cell.
I mean, rent's going up.
Yeah, must have good housekeeping.
You guys got any more articles?
I got a short one here.
All right.
Man arrested after calling 911 to find out if he had any warrants. A 24-year-old man was arrested Wednesday night after calling 911 to find out, I almost said it again, to find out if there were any active warrants for his arrest. Christian Palicio of Bell Street is charged with unlawful use of 911 system. I didn't know that was a law. About 10...
Well, yeah, I mean, because otherwise you'd just call it and be like, what's on the news tonight? You know, you could just fuck with them if there wasn't a law.
Yeah, that's...
Don't call 911 or 911 unless it's emergency.
One time I tried to call, like, I was really pissed. This fucking truck cut me off on Wyland, which is one of the, like, a small street, one lane. He cut me off. He went around me and cut me off. And it was just, like, super risky. So I called, like, a local number for Buffalo Grove. And I got an answering machine said, just dial 911.
We're not busy. Like, you can call 911 here.
So I called them and I'm like, it's not an emergency. I just want to, like, report this crazy guy. So they took my info, but that's why I was shocked that this is a rule.
Well, yeah, but that's, like, still, that's a decent reason to call him versus, like, you know.
Yeah, do I have any warrants?
Is Billy there?
Yeah. Yeah, about 10:01 p.m., police responded to a 1500 block of Bell Street. Why do they even show up? That's what I'm wondering. Why do they show up?
Again, it could be there's nothing going on. There's a cop in the area, and he's like, I'll check it out.
Yeah. After Policio, this guy's name is Policio, called 911 to inquire if there were any warrants out for his arrest, authorities said. After admitting he knew the difference between an emergency and non-emergency, Policio was issued a misdemeanor summons. So,
did he have any warrants?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Oh, damn. Cliffhanger.
Well, I'm glad those tax dollars are going to use well.
There's a mugshot of him, so.
Yeah, he just looks like...
He got stoned to call 911.
Yeah, what an idiot.
Actually, I got a good 911. I saw the article, but I don't have it. But either way, the article reads, one of the headlines is, man breaks into an escape room
place. Oh, I heard about this, yeah.
And then calls 911 because he can't get out. Like the irony, haha. But I didn't actually see the article, but it was one of those like little blogger things, and one of the blogs that pretty much summed it up, whatever, was it wasn't that he couldn't get out of the escape room, it's that one of the escape rooms was set up and designed to look like a murder scene with blood all over the walls and a dead body. And he broke in, thought it was an actual murder scene, called 911 to report the murder on the place he just broke into, and then wound up getting arrested because he broke in there.
Well, his heart was in the right place, I guess.
Like, if I was a cop, I would almost want to let him go. I would let him go, be like, you tried to do the right thing.
Just disappear into the darkness.
After doing the wrong thing... Don't do this again. Like, just don't break into places because look at what you might break into, you know?
Right.
It's a murder scene.
Well, hopefully he learned his lesson.
There's another story where a Virginia man calls the cops after being fouled in a basketball game.
Oh my God, I saw one that was similar to that.
He was fouled in a pickup game. I actually read this earlier today, and he just called the cops. You got like hard screened. He ran into like a hard screen and he like got up, started pouting and called the cops.
Oh wow. My God.
Yeah.
I saw another headline. I didn't read the article, but it was Arizona man gets arrested trying to pull over the state trooper.
How do you do that? You just wave him
get
down?
Get over, pull over.
Citizen's arrest.
Yeah, try and pull over a cop.
I don't know if that should be allowed. You shouldn't be allowed to. I mean, I guess it's disrupting police business, but like maybe you need to wave him down for something or whatever.
Well, I don't think he was waving him down for help. I think he was trying to pull him
give
over.
Him a ticket. What is he gonna do when he pulls him over?
You're under arrest.
Do you have any weapons on you? You have anything that's gonna poke or prick me?
But I mean, maybe he was doing something. Like maybe the cop was fucking speeding, and maybe that guy has a right to like call him on his bullshit.
Is citizen's arrest? Like, can they?
I don't think that's a real thing. No. I think that's one of those movie things.
Is it?
No, it is. But you have to prove it. Prove the fault. Like,
yeah, you can't just go up to someone. Yeah. You're under citizen's arrest.
You're a sexy girl. I'm arresting you.
But, like, if I saw you breaking the law, if I detained you, mm-hmm. citizen's arrest. Call the cops. Have them come over and explain what I saw. I have to prove, you know.
It's like so the bounty hunter.
If you were in my house, I would have to prove that you broke into my house. And not that I kidnapped you. Dragged you into my house.
I was wondering if I'm ever going to be in a situation in my life where I have like to do something like that. Like stop somebody who's doing something and arrest them.
I don't know.
Like, citizens arrest.
Yeah, like what if you're like walking by an alley and you see somebody getting raped? Like you know you're gonna have to jump in.
Yeah, you're not gonna fucking citizens arrest him. You're gonna like tackle.
Well, no, because
down
then the chick's gonna say you're part of the raping.
Oh my god.
Rob's like, just so keep many, on walking.
There's so many wrongful things like that.
There's
that
a good Samaritan.
Know.
There's no like.
Yeah, you, but that's the thing. You have to prove it, and
I'll fucking bust out my phone and
dude,
YouTube.
Dude, this is not realistic. You would not walk by somebody getting raped and just be like, you know what? She might say I'm raping her, so fuck this.
Have you ever seen Law and Order SV?
That's why I don't watch that shit, because it puts those stupid ideas.
But there are bad ideas.
No, wait. Don't tell me you would do that. There's no way you would do that.
There's a second thought, depending.
Well, thought is one
if the
thing,
chick
but
doesn't
action.
No, this was one of those actual stories where a chick got attacked by a guy, another guy came, saw it, tried to rescue, but the chick didn't see it, didn't know, and by the time she saw two guys and reported the two guys, and then the cops came, and as far as the victim knew, it was the two guys. Like, I'm just talking about mistaken.
Yeah, but that's when you know everything gets explained.
That's
for
why
the investigation.
When you know, maybe get in her face first, be like, I'm gonna help you, and then go around.
But no, like, there's a lot of sick stories like that.
Well, yeah. Here's the two things with a situation like that. You could go in there with every good intention of helping, and then the guy could be armed or dangerous, and you could end up getting killed. Or there could be even like something sneakier going on where this is like a plot, and they're like luring you in there to like rob you or
there
something.
There are bad things like
that. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. But don't tell me. My question was, would you just keep walking?
Here, I have an instance. It's not exactly the same, but it's close. And you'll see my frame of thought. I was driving home from work on a suburb street, whatever. And all of a sudden, I'm on this dead street. There's nobody out. There's nobody around. And I see this kid on like a Hot Wheels. Like a little kid, 2-3 years old, something like that. Like, way too young to be by himself, and he's just going down the sidewalk on his Hot Wheels. And, you know, it was a suburban street, so I was only doing 20, so I saw this, I noticed, and I realized nobody's around. Nobody's around. And I'm like, this kid should not be by himself. And so, like, I pulled over, and I was, like, looking to see if there was any parents, any adult, any guardian, and the good human in me wanted to help. Like, I really wanted to...
Oh, and the kid mugged you.
You got raped by the child.
No, but like I wanted to help, but I had this weird, and this was years ago, whatever, you know, I won't say who I am now, but
not that. He came out and stomped the kid.
No.
Stole his Hot Wheels.
I meant like now I'm a father, so.
Real quick, what's a Hot Wheels?
No, I meant a big wheel. You know,
what the fuck is a big wheel?
It's one that, like, it's like a tricycle, but it's got a really big front wheel.
Oh, okay.
But because I've watched stupid shows like CSI and SVU and all these things, I'm not gonna walk up to a strange kid, because somebody who sees me walking up to their kid is gonna say, "What the fuck's wrong with you? Get away from my kid!" You know. So that actually went through my mind before I got out of the car. It's like, I don't want to look weird or suspicious,
right?
But this isn't my kid. This isn't my neighborhood. This I don't know, but.
I could just see, like, hey, kid, you lost? You want to get in my car?
Yeah, like, well, where's your home? I don't know. But, like, this, like, child predators, like, that's a huge freaking thing.
No, it is.
And,
you're like, right. You are
like,
right.
Like, that is something that we have to actively think about. Like, I don't want to get caught on catch a predator for trying to be a good Samaritan. Like stupid things like
no,
that.
No, you're right.
I've
had the same thought, too. I've driven down my own street, and there's like kids riding across the street, and they're like 2-3 years old. I'm like, where the fuck are the parents that are just crossing the street back and forth? And you want to get out and say something, but then I'm like, well, something's gonna happen, and then I'm gonna be responsible for this kid or something.
Yeah, so like
it's gonna trip and fucking get a stick stuck up his ass.
I don't know.
That
something.
Actually had to stop me, and I pulled
I
up.
You
and
said
I sat
that, was,
there.
That actually happened. I'm like, wow.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're
but
saying.
So I just sat there, happened? And then I thought, I was like, oh, geez, I'm looking weird. Eventually, some adults walked around like a bushes, you know, that...
Like the real predator showed up and took care of it.
But they were like on the front porch, but it's covered by bushes, you know?
Okay.
And so eventually, like, they still let the kid way farther out of their sight than they should have, but there was someone around, so eventually, once I saw that...
Well, who are you to judge their parenting?
I'm a freaking parent now, and I knew it was wrong, but then, and I'm still saying it's wrong now.
I know. I'm just having fun with you.
I know. But, like, that's what, like, our generation and day and age, like, that we actually have to think about that, you know? Yeah. One time I was riding my bike, and I stopped at a park to, like, just take a break, and then I realized, oh, my God, these mothers probably think I'm the creeper sitting at a
just bench sweating,
looking at their kids in the park. And I'm like, ah, Jesus. So I got up and left just because I felt like... I might be that uncomfortable.
That's because
guy.
The community environment doesn't really exist when you live in a metropolitan area like this. You don't know your neighbors. Like, you know, back in the day, people knew everybody in their neighborhood. Now it's like, I mean, how many times have you talked to even your next door neighbor?
We don't talk.
Exactly. Yeah. I know my one next door neighbor, and I've waved to the other ones, and I've like said two words to the ones across the street. I've lived there for like 2 years. Nobody ever sees each other. Everybody drives into their garages and goes inside, and
it's great.
Yeah. Until like some kid's getting raped and you don't know if you should help or not.
Am I gonna look weird or...
I mean, that is a general concern. I know where you're coming at, but
Shelby stopped and like tried to get a dog that was just walking around.
Dogs are fine
alone.
You can always help a dog.
She like got out, and then this lady started screaming like, what are you doing with my dog? And
That actually happened. I saw
your dog's off the leash walking down a fucking busy street, you know, what are you doing with your dog?
I tried to same thing. I saw a dog walking around. Got out of the car and I tried to like pick it up. Dog ran away and I was like, okay. So I went home. And like an hour later,
that's my dog.
There's a couple walking around. Is this your dog? And I'm like, nope. Glad he's your problem now. Like, I'm glad I didn't spend the last hour walking around with this dog. That actually did. We did pick up a dog. Walked around for a block. Walked around the block to see if we can find the owner, and then finally another dog walker recognized the dog, pointed us towards the house, and we went to the house and we're like, is this your dog? And they're like, oh my god, how did the dog get out? Like, awesome. You guys are great.
Great home. Go inside.
All right, well, I think that about does it for this
week.
That's
plenty.
All right. Well, this has been a fun podcast. I think this has been a good one.
This has been a great night.
I'm excited to listen to it later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope you're all out there in listening land enjoying listening to it as well.
Listening.
Listening land.
Listening.
you're still listening listeners. Using Fap Tracker.
Don't Fap.
Track your Faps.
Don't Fap too much.
Or Fap more. Either way. Whatever. Whatever you like to do. It's America.
God bless.
All right. Well, I'm Alex.
I'm Lucas.
And I'm Rob.
This has been Relevant Shit.
Good night.
Shit.